start your day the Torah way, Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg.
Good morning. We have a very busy Shabbos. Shabbos HaChodesh, Shabbos HaChodesh, and Shabbos. I just want to say one point. I think a fundamental, very important point about saying piyutim. Unfortunately today many shuls don't say piyutim, and those that do are said very fast. Very few people actually make the effort to understand, to appreciate, to enjoy the piyutim. And it's a tremendous loss. And this loss spreads itself not just to piyutim, which many taka don't say, but a whole appreciation, a whole area of appreciation of Yiddishkeit, which we have not just with piyutim of Shabbos HaChodesh. You've got it, piyutim Leila Seder, piyutim over Yom Tov, Tehillim. A little bit like this. Once I saw the joke, there was once a teacher that was trying to teach the students French. Trying to teach a group of boys French. As you can imagine, they weren't very enthusiastic. What happens is they're all messing around. So to try to get them excited, she says to them, imagine, how would you speak to the people in France if you don't know how to speak French? So one of the boys says, we'll tell them all to learn English. He says, why should they learn English? You might as well learn French. He said, no. French is a very difficult language. You see how hard it is for me to learn. But English, I've always been able to speak it without any trouble. People think it's like a bedieved that all the piyutim have been written in such difficult language, and we do our very best to simplify the language that we should appreciate it and understand it. And we think to ourselves, halavai, it would all be written in a language which we could all understand on a much easier level. But it's not like that. It's not a bedieved. It's that the etzem piyut, Chazal wanted to teach us how to speak what we would call sfas halev, the language of the heart. When it comes to information, to knowledge, then the Chazal say, you should teach to your Talmud in a very short, cryptic, stick to the point and say that. If I was to try and teach somebody that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and I was to speak in very flowery language, there's a fire of ball, radiating heat, with solar panels and coming up from the way that the wind blows, and I'm trying to tell you that the wind sets up in the, gets up in the east, you'll get frustrated with me. Just tell me your point and finished with. But when it comes to the language of the heart, fakir, it's not the derech kutzor. The more regesh a person appreciates, the more a person has to say. Imagine the person gives you a lift. Come home from a mate, you need to go home, he gives you a lift. So what do? You get out of the car and say, thanks, thank you for the lift. Imagine a person saves your child's life. You're not going to be able to say to him, thank you for saving my child's life. Words will not be enough. You know, people, many times people have said, I can't think of the right words to be able to thank you. When a person feels a tremendous amount of regish, a real feeling, he's not going to stick to simple, straightforward language. What he tries to do is he tries to find the most powerful language he can find. Poetry, song, use sholim to explain how he feels, use parables. These are ideas which a person is trying to convey his feelings. When we read the piyutim and we see that the written in languages which we find difficult, when we say psukut dezimro, so that the person can say psukut dezimro, I don't understand what I'm trying to say over here. The person has to appreciate, we're not just trying to teach a piece of information, one on one makes two. We're trying to get a feeling into a person. And the feeling requires that a person should spend energy and time and thought. What is he saying? And to actually feel something. And nowadays, as we mentioned at the beginning, piyut is becoming almost like a lost art. That's a loss that we have, that we don't have much time in our minds and our hearts, and therefore our hearts have shrunk. And it's a big loss. A person has to appreciate it and realize this is not a bidyevet, it's a lechatchila. A person has to spend as much energy as he can to be magdil, the helgush. And if a person should chaperein, especially over Yom Tov, to try and spend time developing her geishim of love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a small how I want to say about the piyutim of Shabbos HaGod. There's one very important kleyoka on this week's parsha. It has a famous divotir, but this kleyoka is very beautiful. It's kedai to say over. The kleyoka points out that the avera of tzaras comes from one of three different averas which Chazal mentioned: loshon hara, gaiva, and taking other people's money, either not sharing one's own money or taking other people's money, kamsonos. And Chazal, he says, these are the main three things which Chazal point out. If you think about it, Chazal say, the goyim boyim aloshen hara, and Rashi, next week's parasha, he says, eitz eres ve'ezoi, we should take a cedar branch and a hyssop. If it was a balgaiva like an eitz eres, he should become humble like a hyssop branch, like a little bush. And Chazal also say that when a person has tzaras in his house, he has to take everything he has into the street that people can see which things he has stolen, which things he never lent out. He used to say to people when he used to ask him, can I borrow your hammer? He said, I don't have any hammers. And suddenly when he has tzaras, he takes out all his equipment and you see he's got three different kinds of hammers. So that would be a lesson on not to take, it was a lesson on how to deal with money. And in fact, that's why the tzipurim chirp, that's a remnant of the Lashon Hara. And he says many of the Muslim based on this idea. Chazal, the Pasuk mentions there are three names to tzaras: Se'es, Sapachas, and Baheres. Se'es is from the Lashon Hisnasus, from Gaiva. Se'es, when a person lifts himself too high. Sapachas means to add, Vistapeach v'nachalosecho. Sapachas means to add, to take other people's things and to add it to your own. So that is the remes. The word sapachas is the remes of people taking other people's things. And baheres is loshen white. Now, when a person is malbi pnei chaver baravim, that's the worst of all kinds of loshen hara. It makes his face go white. It's a baheres. So the three names of the loshen hara, se'es, sapachas, and baheres, remind the person of the three kinds of averes which a person either gaiva, loshen hara, or taking other people's things. And he says that's why the whole parasha is v'huvo el ha'kohen. Why always to the kohen? Because Aaron ha'kohen symbolize the opposite of all these three things. Regarding gaiva, Chazal say, Godel ma'shenema b'moshe v'aaron, yosem ma'shenema b'avom avinu. Because Avom avinu said, v'noichi ofa v'efa, I'm like dust. But what did Moshe and Aaron say? V'nachnu mo, we're worthless, we're nothing. So Aaron was the symbol of anova. Furthermore, another reason of tzaras is we said loshen hara to cause harm to other people. Aaron ha'kohen was oyev sholim v'oyev sholim. And the third we said is because he takes other people's things and he doesn't share his things. Aaron ha'kohen relied on matnas kahuna, and he never had his own property bichlal. He was the opposite of somebody who just took his own things. So therefore, if you go through the kleyok at the beginning of the parasha, where he works through the three mahalchim in the Goyim, he beautifully explains how each one it follows through. It's very geshmak, a piece of kleyoka to see inside. Okay, but he didn't have his own nachla. In those days, nachla was the thing. So brought down the shtrik of a Rebbe, every Erev Pesach, he used to get up at Shabbos HaGadol and he used to start crying and say, every year people ask me how to kasher the chametz pots, so they should be able to put matzah inside, how to make everything clean, that they shouldn't be chashash chametz. And they don't ask me, how can their mouths, which the whole year spoken of Shon Hara and Divrei Nevelah, how can they make that tohoy to be able to eat the matzah, that the matzah, when it goes into the mouth, shouldn't get blemished. And when it says the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, that it should be a clean keli, that it shouldn't be something dirty. I was thinking perhaps that's why Parshas Tazvia Mitzvah always comes before Seder night, before we use our mouths to speak about, not always before, but often it comes before Seder night, that's a reminder that you're about to spend the Seder night using your mouth of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Make sure that your mouth is clean. And it seems that we used to say this over the Shekhar every year. It used to make the whole Kehillah cry. You used to be over this Nakuda, very busy with the tower of the kitchen. What about the tower of your mouth? Bema's Taka Yom Tov is a time where people spend a lot of time talking to each other and socializing and being with family. And it's very, very hard for a person's if a person notices how quickly conversations turn to being negative about people. So it requires a tremendous amount of effort that all conversation, people get, talk to her all the time, gets a bit, and then talk about other things, you very, very quickly start talking about people, and the minute you start talking about people, it very quickly gets to Lashon Hara. And Behemoth, the person needs to work upon this, this very Kedai, Pashas Ramitzer, this the whole method of the Parshas that teaches the Chashivos. There's a very beautiful word from the Ben Ish Chai. Nice, very schmackable, because this takes away, why are we so prone to speak Lashon Hara? The answer is that deep down, we have a tremendous amount of unhappiness or jealousy or enmity to all the people around us, our competitors. I mean, deep down, if a person doesn't want to put down somebody where he's not jealous of bichlal, and the person feels jealousy, and it might be a very small jealousy, and it might be a very subconscious jealousy, somebody else has got more money, somebody else has a better job, somebody else has more covered, and then what happens is, and the person feels unhappy, and he tries to put down, that's very, very, that's the basic of where Lashon Hara comes from. So Ben Ish Chai says a murder kavod. One of the dinim of a metzora was that he had to shave all his hair, every bit of hair. He says, when you look at the hair, when it's growing, well, persons now we have less hair on our foreheads than we used to, but a person has hair, then when it's not shaved, it looks like every hair is covering another one, taking another one's place. But the Chazal tell us, and it's a scientific fact, that every single hair has its own boyanika, has its own source. You only see that when the hair is very, very, very short. When it's long, each hair looks like on top of each other, looks like a pie, looks like each one's taking each other's place. When you cut it very short, there's nothing there. You can just see tiny bits of hair. Each one's got its own place. The Chazal say, in fact, it's impossible for two hairs to grow from the same boyanika, from the same source. And Chazal furthermore say that a person, to get rid of jealousy, Mr. Sashoim points out, that a person has to realize, in Odom negea b'mucha mechaveya afilu kum lo'i nimo. A person cannot take from his friend, can't touch even a hair. That means if a person wants to be mispoinin, that every person gets exactly what he needs, exactly what's good for him, and nobody in the world can take that away from him, can't overlap in his powers, then when a person has that appreciation, then he has no jealousy at all, because he realizes there's nothing that can be taken away from me. So we tell him, shave off all your hair, don't look at their hair as if it's overflowing one on top of the other, each one seems to be covering the other. On the contrary, each one, look carefully and you'll see, each hair has its own place. Nobody is taking anything from you, you've got nothing to be upset with Yenem. Yenem never hurt you in his lifetime. If a person has a true appreciation that never has he been harmed in any way or hurt in any way, the source of jealousy is thinking that somebody else really ought to come to me and somebody else has got it. First realizes it's impossible that it ought to have come to you. If it ought to have come to you, it would have come to you. When the person has that appreciation, then he loses the jealousy, then he will not speak Lashon Hara. And that's why the Pasuk says that a Metzora should shave his hair. It's a very nice shot from the Ben Ish Chai. I just want to say something which is a bit, not soon to get out of the parish, but it's in Santa Zach. Okay, it's a bit again. There's a Shaila, a Kohen Gadol who is a Metzora, is he allowed to marry an almona? A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almona. Right? It's Pasuk. Pashas Emor. We shall be Sula Yikach. A Kohen Gadol who is a Metzora, it's possible avoid. He's not allowed to do anything in the avoid in Beis Hamikdash. A Kohen Gadol who's a Metzora is not allowed to do anything. What about Kohen Gadol who's a Metzora? Is he allowed to marry an almona? So the Gemara in Hovius asks the Shaila. And the Gemara in Hovius says that Rava asked the Shaila, Rav Papa asked the Shaila, and came along Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, and he brought, Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Nachman, and he brought a brisa that dash is a special pasuk that an almana, that a Kohen Gadol who is a metzora is not allowed to marry an almana. Even though he's not allowed to do that, but they're still not allowed to marry an almana. I ask you, now that I've told you this information, that a Kohen Gadol who is a metzora is not allowed to marry an almana, on a level from 1 to 10, 10 being the most excited, how excited are you? Most people admit that this information doesn't thrill them. Most of them were not Kohenim Gadolim. And we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. In fact, when they were clearing the Shaila, they also didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. Rav Huna was one of the Amoraim. Says the Gemara, that when Rav Papa heard him quoting this Braisa, come, he got up from his place, Nashke Bereshe, he hugged him and kissed him. And he gave him his daughter as a Shidduch. Can you imagine? Somebody came in, a Kohen Gadol who's a Metzorah is Osa Balmana. Wow, what information. That's exciting. Hugged him, kissed him, and gave him his daughter for a Shidduch. That's the perfect person to have as a son of. Well, Papa gave to Abuna. But Papa's daughter married Abuna. The Chazanish brings this story in Amunah B'Kochem. He brings another similar story in Gemara Menachos. The Gemara there declares a Shaila about first to Shechtze Korban to leave the blood for the next day. The halacha is if you plan to sprinkle the blood the next day, the Korban's a pigum. But to leave the blood the next day, the Gemara declares a Shaila. And the Maisa, we pass it's okay, but Yosef HaBavli was once sitting in front of a Blotzman Shamua, and Rabbi Yehuda Anossi tells us this story, that he once came to Blotzman Shamua, and he saw Yosef HaBavli there. And Yosef HaBavli asked the Shaila, what's the din, if a person shechts a korban with intention to leave the blood the next day. So Blotzman Shamua said to him, it's okay. So he asked him again, that was in the evening, he asked him again in the morning, what's the din? It's okay, it's kosher. He asked him in the afternoon, it's kosher. He asked him again in the late afternoon, it's kosher. He asked him again, he said, it's kosher, but there's a shitter that holds that it is possible. Oh, he started smiling and crying, the Gemara says. Why? Because he said that I once heard a shitter that it is possible. And every time you were saying kosher, I was thinking I must have made a mistake. But now that you tell me there's an opinion that says possible, the opinion that I heard that it's possible must have been that opinion. And the Gemara goes on, how he sat there and wept. That Baruch Hashem, that information was not incorrect. Chazanish in the Munah B'Tochen mentions this. And he says that we see that a person has to have a tremendous, tremendous love of Torah. We're very used to enjoying somebody who says a nice geshmak of word or musadik of word. But to hear a love of Torah for the sake of Torah. Abdul, if a person would come in and say, I have found a cure for Yena Machla, how excited we would be. We'd be thrilled. Here we have Amoroim and Tanoim, when somebody came in with a shtickle Torah, which was not negah lemaisa, wasn't negah to them. They had no base of Migdosh. I'm talking about a very rare situation. But it was a psak halacha, it was a chiddush Torah. They got beyond excited. They gave away their daughters, they were hugged, they would cry. That was an avo smicha of Torah. It's an appreciation that we have to develop. A love of the chashivos of Torah, just like a person find excitement in scientific, some breakthrough. This was the excitement they had for Torah. There's a sefer called Eved HaMelech by Shmuel Homino. Not such a well-known sefer, but it's a very interesting sefer. What he does is, it's actually quite a simple idea, but he develops it a very lot. That is like this. That every mitzvah in the Torah has its parameters, has its details. That every mitzvah in the Torah, besides for its halachas, teaches a person how to live his life. It's very interesting. It's worth to be mispoiling about it. First of all, mispoiling that it could change the whole way he reads the Torah. For example, there's a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. Right? Mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. So that means if I find an item, I have to give it back. Everybody knows the halachas, basically. But the point is, many times, there's no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. But the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda teaches a person a way of life. Way of life. For example, if you hear of somebody struggling, is going off the derech, and you help him bring him back onto the derech, even the chinuch writes, that's a form of Hashavas Aveda. It's not the actual mitzvah, it won't be in the Shulchan Aruch of Hashavas Aveda. But it's the same concept, you have to care about other people's things. There's a story that Moshe Feinstein was once in the yeshiva, where they were learning Eili Mitzvahs, and he saw that Bochum were damaging a certain item in the yeshiva. He said, you're obviously not learning the peruk properly, because the whole peruk is to teach you to care about other people's property. So Hashavas Aveda has got its halachas. And it's not obviously, the halachas are very clear cut in Shulchan Aruch, and you have to know the halachas. But the mitzvah teaches you a way of life. This is the whole sefer of the Eved HaMelech in a nutshell. And look, the Miller is busy with it as well. It's a kind of way of thinking. He said, you have to look at this parsha, the parsha of Tzavaz. So, straight away, what springs to mind is the concept that Tzavaz teaches a person the terrible issa of Lashon Hara. And that's the obvious topic, right? So that's the concept of Lashon Hara. But that's not the only thing that it teaches us. I'm going to go briefly, very briefly, but it's each one of these nekudas, it's like the parsha is a springboard, just like Hashavas Aveda is a springboard that you can use it to talk about how you should treat other people's property. So the parsha of Tazriya Mitzvah, Tazriya Tzoraz, is a springboard that teaches a very lot about new ideas of how a person should live. we are very common with the idea that a person has a body and a soul. Good for neshama. Person doesn't eat properly or bangs his hand, his body gets hurt. Person doesn't have veva, his neshama gets hurt. Here we have a very interesting situation. A person doesn't have veva, and the body got hurt. A person spoke lashon hara, and the whole body gets saras. And saras, Chazal say, was a very painful, suffering, debilitating illness. We see the concept that mitzvahs don't just affect our neshamas, but they affect our whole bodies. A person who thinks about Torah mitzvahs and doing good things, his whole body is a healthier body than somebody who doesn't. This connection, the very deep connection between the neshama and the guf. I'll speak to somebody this week that I had to wait. And he had a very big picture of the Manshur Shashiva on the wall. I just stand there in front of the spoon and we don't know what a person is. We can't fathom the greatness of a person, but you see just his face. You feel the greatness that comes from it. This is a concept that we see by Tzoras. A person speaks Lashon Hara. So you say the Shama should get damaged. No, the whole body got ruined. He would suffer from terrible suffering of Tzoras. Another concept is another springboard, you could say, from Tvash Tzor Zemetzor. It's an interesting way to look at parshas. A person should really do this with every posuk in the Torah. That's how the Melech writes. Every posuk in the Torah says there's a springboard to a way of life. That's how he writes it. He said like this, that the whole avodah of a Metzorah, of all he did is always went to the Kohen. The Kohen would tell him, Toi, Tome, wait, this. Even though it was an illness, it was a physical illness, he would go to a Kohen, a Talmud Chacham, to find out what he should do. And that's also an important message, the idea that when a person's going through a difficult situation, what should he do? He should turn to his Rav, not to his doctor, not to his friends necessarily. He has to turn to a Das Torah to help him through the situation. But every time the Pasuk mentions, he should come to the Kohen, everything the Kohen has to decide. That's also a springboard. How a person has to have a Rav, somebody he can speak to discuss with him his issues. There's many other springboards you can talk about. I just mentioned one more. That how does he do tshuva? The pasuk says if he's kivoy akoyin shiva samim, he gets locked up for 7 days. And in fact, when he's tamei bodad yeshim mechutz lamachane, the concept of hispoididus of being alone. Sometimes people think that it's a Breslover idea hispoididus. It's a huge mistake. Mesillas Yeshayim writes in Perek Tesvav that all the tzaddikim from the beginning of Riyah till today have only chosen the derech of hispoididus. A person has to have time to be by himself, to think about what he's doing in his life. And that is why the whole tikkun of a mitzvah always was by locking him up. 7 days locked up here, 7 days locked up there. When he's finally tomei, he sent him out to the camp, bodad yeshiv. The idea that a person has to have time to be able to think about what he's doing, time alone. And nowadays, it's very, very hard to find such time. It used to be that in the bathroom we'd get time, but now we take our phones, we can text one into the bathroom. And Musa Gavi spoiled us. It's a springboard. The person, it's not the whole parasha. This is a murderous place to point out that the whole tower of a Metzora was based on his ability to separate himself from conversations, what's happening around him, and to think about what is he doing with his life. It's an avoda. It's an avoda. A person has to do it. So Hashem says that you are Navi, Avram Avinu, David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu. They all chose precious as a way. Spiritus as a way to shtayk. It's not possible, he says, to get to avoda Hashem properly when a person is constantly busy without having time to think for himself. Okay, these are springboards from the parasha. I don't say a word more to do with Pesach, but always try to say something about Shir Hashim, especially because we're coming closer to Pesach, we actually say Shir Hashim and Shul. There's a very, very beautiful idea from the Netziv. The Pasuk says, Doidi sholach yodoi min hachoy, umeyai homo olov. The one I love took his hand away from the door hole, and my inside became desiring of him. Okay. Now, it's a hemshech ha-psukim. We don't have so much time, but he says like this. He says there's a concept that Chazal more says it's a brachas that the world says there was a group of Rishoyim in Babel called Chaveim, terrible Rishoyim. And what did they do? They forbade all Shechita. So they asked the Birchon why. He said because people are not being makpid enough in giving the parts to the kohen. Then they forbade the bathhouses because they're not makpid on tefillah and so forth. He says when Klal Yisrael become lax in a certain mitzvah, then what Hashem does is He makes it much more difficult. And then it is necessary for people to do Mesiras Nefesh and to push themselves to Shtaig in that area. And when they do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them back again. So what happens is like this, people get not interested, they get lazy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it more difficult. And when He makes it more difficult, then people have to be Mesiras Nefesh for the mitzvah. And when they make an effort in the mitzvah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu then has opportunity for them to grow and come closer to Him. I mean, like this, he's explaining like this a bit. That we imagine when the mitzvah becomes challenging, that so to speak, it's like a punishment, it's a distance, it's like imagine the person does it to his friend, the person has got a friend who's not nice to him, so he gets more distance, not interested in him, he loses shaychus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants faket that we should put the extra effort. I'll give a simple moshav, it's an important one. Let's say a person has a child that likes to put on his coat himself. I've got a son, 3 years old, likes to put on his coat himself. I'm rushing in the morning to do rota, and he wants to put the coat on himself. A good parent doesn't always rush to put the coat on. He lets the child struggle and let the child eventually learn to put the coat on himself. A child learning to walk, parent sees the child struggling. What does a not healthy parent do? I don't want my child to fall. Quickly picks up the child and doesn't let the child ever struggle, always picks it up. It's a mistake. Faket, a good parent has the patience and the interest to let the child struggle, get used to doing it himself, and eventually developing himself through it. Says in the Tziv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent His hand away to give us an opportunity to get in through the door hole. Choy says it's a crack, to push in. And that way, Umei Homo Olov. He explains many other concepts like that. We say it in the Shiras Devorah, before our voice, be Yisroel, be Snatev on Bochus Hashem. Before our voice, when Klal Yisrael behaved with a lackness of importance, be Snatev on, we needed an Edivus. That was Chanukah, that Klal Yisrael became lazy, the Kohanim had to become extra effort. We come to the Yom Tov of Pesach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to make an effort for His mitzvahs. Every person has to make some sort of effort. Some people, they might buy paperwork, but they still have to cash their things. Each person has their effort which they make for Yom Tov. And many times a person feels, the effort is a bidyevet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be done. It's a bidyevet that there has to be an effort. It's a very big mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the opportunity that we should be able to make an effort to be able to grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it all himself for us. But that would be like an unhealthy parent who doesn't want the child to have the opportunity to do something, to let it grow, to become bigger, to do something greater from it. Faket, Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us finally the opportunity of to have an opportunity that we should be the ones to push an effort and to gain from it. A person needs a lot of achana for Pesach, besides for the technical efforts. The Baal Chassidim say that the person has to daven that he should have atzlocha with his seder. He should daven to have atzlocha with his seder. So Loshen Shoyalin v'Dorshin b'Inyan HaPesach. It doesn't say Lumdin b'Inyan HaPesach. Shoyalin v'Dorshin. You have to request and Dorshin and beg Hashem b'Inyan HaPesach. The 30 days before Pesach, you should be davening to Hashem to have Sat Tishma. I want to mention a few points about the Leila Seder itself. Just Machshavas, what is a Seder supposed to be? It's interesting that Chazal call it, by the way, Leil HaSeder. They don't call it Leil HaMitzvahs, Leil Matzah. Leil Seder means the night of the order. Seder is an order. So it's just an important point that even though there's many mitzvahs and matzah, there's Moroi, there's Kom Pesach, the old days at least was, let's show again today, but they call it Leil HaSeder. If a person doesn't have a Seder to everything, the whole thing will get lost. It's very important to have a person should be masuda before Pesach. He should have organized in his mind what is he planning to say, what's he planning to do, how is he planning to run it. That's why they call it Leila Seder. The Seder of life is very, very important. A person who has masuda the schedule can do much, much more with less effort than somebody who has no Seder. Okay, Leila Seder. There's one catch 22 about Satanite, which is important, is like this, that the more a person is keen and excited that he should work well and puts effort, the more frustrated he gets when things don't go according to plan. When the children are not interested, when things get spilt, when the wife's not ready. And that's very important. On one hand, the person has to have tremendous enthusiasm, excitement, to be ready and be, I mean, show enthusiasm. On the other hand, a person has to be very, very careful to not get himself upset that things aren't going his way. I remember to me, it was years ago, I was at Kiryat Sefer, and it was a rav, a big chashuv rav, he said to me that during his Seder, one of his children said, I want to go and play. He said, he had prepared Teva to say for me, though. And he realized, he caught himself, he said, yes, you go and play. He said, that was my avodah. It's an important point. On one hand, there's some people not so enthusiastic about the Seder, so it's easy, go and play, forget, I get, you know, leave me a thing. But if somebody who's worked very hard is enthusiastic, but then to be able to then not get irritable when a child is not interested, and if a wife's not, it's an avodah. One has to have both balances, to be very excited, very enthusiastic, but at the same time to be prepared. Another point, just machshavas, a person can take it as well. A person has to have hergeshim for the Seder. A person can only say what he feels. A person who doesn't feel anything for Leila Seder, he can say over the divitur from night to morning. If he doesn't care about it, that message will get through. A person has to be himself excited about the mitzvahs. A person has to be excited about Sipur Tzvi Tzayim. A person has to be enthusiastic. If not, he can buy the newest Haggadah with the best Divrei Torah. If a person doesn't have it in his heart, it won't get into anybody else's heart. There's a very interesting chiddush Talmidim. So the Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hashem Yikom Domo. And he's very ma'arich. That people make a shtickle and mistake with the Leila Seder is that they imagine that the ikka is the words that they say. I mean, the person can prepare Divrei Torah. It's not like that. It's the experience of the Leila Seder. A person does not need to say a very, very lot. The main thing is that the atmosphere and the matzav and the helga should be there. The way he puts it is that the smell of the chavoisos can have more influence than any Dvar Torah a person can say Leila Seder. That's the way he said it. Because the smell of the Chavoisos is a memory, it's an emotion, it's a Helgash. A Dvar Torah, a person can hear it another time. It's an Avodah. The person has to think of ways to make the Seder night exciting, it makes the Seder night enthusiastic. And it's not necessarily by having a very, very long Seder. A person thinks, I've had a Seder for 4 hours. It's meaningless. If it's 4 hours of dragging and the child is tired and not interested, it's solemnly, I'm not sure how much a person's gained. But if a person's made it a happy atmosphere, a geschmack atmosphere, he might not have said much to her. But as the host of the meeting says, the smell of the chavoisos, the white table, the geschmack of wine, there's avodah letting children enjoy the wine. Sometimes they get messy with it and spill it and drink, but they want dafka this wine. It's interesting, the Rambam writes, as a chiddush for the first time I saw this, the Rambam writes that the wine of Leila Seder should be a geschmacka wine. So I never saw this before, maybe you'll know it. It has to be a geschmacka wine. Everything's very makpid to make sure that it's apidin, mavushal, non mavushal, and then the grape juice. Not. It has to be arabian, it has to be pleasant. It's in Santa Alocha. The Chazal say, Rashi brings it in Shoftim that Gidon said to the Malach, Ayin niflo yisecha, where's the niflo yis of Hashem? And Rashi says that day was the second day Pesach. And Gidon said, yesterday my father read me on Leila Seder, he read me the Hallel. And he read me the Hallel, he taught me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. And now that I see that Klal Yisrael are suffering, what's going on? You see the ability. Of course, Gideon was in the Messiah, of course he knew the Halal, of course he knew the Haggadah. But the Helgash that his father managed to create in Leila Seder was such that when he walked out the next morning after Leila Seder and he saw Klal Yisrael suffering, he was unable to cope with it. That was the Helgash that he was zeich from Leila Seder. There is a mahalach, the Baba Nel does this, and other people do it. is to try and be ma'ivah the whole, to think up of a theme for the Leila Seder. I'm not saying everybody should, but it's an idea. And to use it and to connect everything to Leila Seder. Baba Noel says, for example, everything is about the Geula HaSeder. So everything, every time you read a shtickel in the Haggadah, how it teaches us how Mashiach will come. That's a way to do it. One of the big difficulties we struggle with, a person should think about from now till Pesach, is that the children come to the Seder knowing it all. Not only they know it all, they know sometimes more than us in Divitur and everything else. And not only they know it and they know more, they're often bored of it already. It's a very harsh thing to say. But many children come to the Seder not interested in hearing another Dvar Torah on Kol Lachmanyo or why Manishtan is Losh Zohar Nosh Nekeva. And because of that, the person has to sometimes think of how can he change things, what can he do to add his perspective, his helgash to it, without that, this is that, the Shirley Medoshin, the person has to be misprinted. Just say, well, Chassid Shavetum, we'll finish off with that, is that all that speak about the Knus of Machlekes. Machlekes can really destroy people. I think it's from the women of Rebbe. Kaddish Urchatz, if a person wants to become Kaddish and Urchatz, if a person wants to wash himself away from all Aveiros, then Karpas. Karpas is Rosh HaTevis, Klal Rishon Per Satoim. Klal Rishon, the first rule, Per Satoim, keep your mouth closed, because Machlekes, don't get yourself into fights. Yachatz Magid. Yachatz Magid, Yachatz is half Magid. Only say half the things that you think you should be saying. Yachatz Magid, only say half. Rochtzo, then you'll wash yourself from Aveiros. Moitzi Matzo. Matzo Chazal say Matzo is Loshin Machloikas. Moitzi Matzo, if you keep your mouth closed, Moitzi Matzo, you'll escape from all Machloikas. Moitzi Matzo, you'll get out of fight. Matzo means Machloikas. Moroi Koivach, because every Machloikas has wrapped in it bitterness. Moroi, bitterness, Koivach is wrapped up in Machloikas. So Moitzi Matzo, the Moroi Koivach, because you should be aware of the fact that in every Machloikas, bitterness is wrapped up. Shulchan Oirech, Chazal say that a person who escapes from Machlekes is zeicher to 100 panosas. 100 different sources of panos get away from Machlekes. Shulchan Oirech, and Sofoin, he says, Chazal say Sofoin is a simon of Zav, of gold, of Ashirus. A person who escapes away from Machlekes will be zeicher to Ashirus. Baruch, Halel, Nirtzo, somebody who does all of this, Hashem will bless him, Hashem will be mahalel him, and he'll be Nirtzo in the eyes of Hashem. He should be zeicher right through the Pesach. Not to get involved into any chasshom lashon hara. For this week's bash, we should teach not machlek and not chasshom into any machlek, as we always say, the kashon pesach.